chapter 29, verses 16 through 20. Hear the word of God. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountains where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, we look at the different things that we want to make sure that we feel comfortable with, and sometimes that's not exactly where we want to be. It's not always where we should be. So we look at the things that we see and just, you know, move forward with it and see that everything that we're doing is not always where we want to be. So basically, how important is it for us to know that Jesus is always with you? That whatever happens, he is here and there for you. Quite simply, right? Jesus comes to us when we least expect him, while we know that he tells us that he's always with us. The realization is sometimes mind-boggling. The Great Commission is quite simply something that we have accepted and we are commanded to follow. These are Jesus' last instructions to his disciples. But listen carefully to his last few words. "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Now that's an assurance that we feel comfortable with, right? We know that Christ told his disciples and told us that no matter what's going on in our lives, he's going to be right there with us. Through our good times, through our hard times, we always know that he is there with us. You know, the little poem that's out there, you know, where footsteps in the sand. We've all read that. We've all heard that story many, many times. You know, when we have our hardest time and we see nothing but that single pair of feet going through there, and they say, "Well, God, whenever I'm on my hardest, you're not there with me. There's one set of footsteps there." But what does God tell us? He tells us, "That's when I carry you." That no matter what is going on in our lives, during our hardest times, that single set of footsteps is God carrying us through that time. You know, we look at the things that affect our lives, and sometimes we think, okay, well, what's going on here? Why is this not what I want? You know, I pray about this thing. We kind of talked about it again in Sunday school, you know, that common thing prayer that we have. "God, give me patience, but I want it right now." And we say here, okay, where is it at? Well, we've got to have the patience to receive it, right? We've got to slow down and listen for that voice. Listen to what God is trying to tell us in our lives. Listen to the fact that we know that no matter what we think, when we think it should happen, it's only going to happen when God's time is there and when he wants it to happen. We just don't always understand that sometimes. 1 John 4:15 says, "If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God." Quite simply, what we're looking at is the basic stuff, right? And whoever believes that acknowledges quite simply that Jesus is the Son of God. God's immaculate, immediate, tangible, authentic, genuine, the real presence is with them always. Isn't that a beautiful thing to know, knowing that when we look for him, he's there. When we need him our most, he is there. When we think that all things are not going to go the way we want them, he is there. We just have to realize that he's always with us in everything that goes on in our lives. So how many of you, think about this, how many of you had to do chores when you were a kid? All of us did, right? We all had the little things that we were responsible for. Most of us had at least one that we faced for bread. A chore that you would cheerfully face if someone would go with you. But alone, it was terrifying. Perhaps it was taking the garbage down to the curb at night before the garbage truck would come the next morning. Or maybe you had to go down in the dark basement to get clean clothes out of the dryer. Your imagination would run away with you, and you saw things and heard noises that convinced you that something or someone was hiding in the bushes outside or around the corner in the basement. You would make a loud noise going in, clanging, singing, talking very loudly to whoever that might be there in the shadows. As soon as you were done, you would run at a world record pace back to where you felt safe again, or at least to where someone might could see you. If you could talk to someone into doing these tasks with you, only then were you able to put on a brave face and go about your chore without being overwhelmed with fear. We've all been scared of something sometimes. Sometimes a little more than most. Fear always seems to worsen when we're alone. But to put one other warm body in whatever that situation is, hoping that at least one somewhat friendly, and all the things seem to subside, becomes better. It's the power of presence. Even if it's a child, just having another person helps calm you and your fears, your imagination, because you're not alone. Someone is with you. But consider this, God knows. He knows the human condition. He knows that when we get alone, we often get afraid. The human condition is capable of extraordinary terror, fear, and anxiety. And there are things that weigh on our hearts and our minds. But just having someone in the room makes a huge difference. We don't feel quite as upset. We don't feel the need to worry quite as much because someone's there with us. But the thing is, someone's always with us. You need to remember that what Jesus' last words were on this planet. He could have said anything, but what he said assures us. He promises us that I am with you always, even to the very end. I'm not going to leave you. I'm always here. He's always with us, no matter what. Some of you quietly thinking, okay, well, what do I do if something went wrong? What if I don't come to church very much? What if I don't read my Bible? I don't pray? You know, God won't be there. Listen to John, 1 John 4:15 again. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. He's assuring us that no matter how we feel, no matter the fact that we're not perfect, we tend to falter occasionally. We tend to do things that we don't really need to be doing. And we kind of shared it in Sunday school. You know, I love it somehow that when we're sitting in there, no matter what our lesson is on, God gives me something to, okay, Dennis, think about this. You missed this when you read the lesson. You missed this, and this is what you need to catch. You know, we look at it and see that there are things that we are assured through our belief. And it's pretty clear, whoever confesses that you have the presence of God with you, it's just that simple. You don't have to bat a thousand. You don't have to cross your T's and dot your I's and do it all right. But if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then Matthew 28:20 is your reality. Jesus said, I'm with you always to the very end of age. You know, I wonder how differently we would live if this was real to each and every one of us. Have you ever watched a TV show with someone you respect and suddenly one of the awkward scenes come on? An explicit word is used and a person turns and looks at you like, really? And you look at them and go, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Turn it off. It might be your favorite show, but the power of another presence to enlighten your conscience helps us to bring clarity to the terms of our decision making. It's amazing the power of presence. I wonder if you and I truly believe that Jesus is always with us, how differently we would live privately and publicly. You know, if we look at it, we look at the different things that go on in our lives, and God's trying to get us on that path, you know, sharing what we're supposed to be sharing. We share the gospel, right? You know, we talk about, you know, how he speaks to us, the clarity that's not always there, like Phil shared with us this morning. You know, when we're thinking, you know, well, I don't quite understand what he's trying to tell us. Turn that little volume up a little bit and listen a little closer. You know, sometimes it's not clear what he's trying to tell us, but he's got a plan. He's got something that he wants us to do. He's got something that's very important that we're supposed to understand and realize that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Matthew 28, Jesus has given us that great commission. Commissioning people who live a life on a mission. This go is pretty significant and has extraordinary implications. You are being called to live a life on the go. So what does that mean? Does that mean that he gives us an assignment? We say, okay, I got this. We start about it at the beginning of the Sunday, and we go, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to witness to everybody I come in contact with. Then Monday comes around. Where did that thought go? Where did that challenge go? Where did that mission that God gave you today go when you're not concentrating on that? We get out of that secular world, we get back to that workplace, and things go away from our mind, and it's not, our focus is not on Jesus. Our focus is not on the fact that he died on that cross. Our focus is on what's going on around the world with us today. What's happening in our office? What's happening that we shouldn't be too worried about, or should we? You know, we talk about how different things happen. We're talking about prayer and how sometimes you're sitting there and you're praying away, got your agenda, we're talking to God, we got it all good and going just exactly like we wanted. Then all of a sudden we're on that rabbit trail, as Bobby put it. We're on that rabbit trail and we're not thinking about what we're praying about. We've got to rid ourselves back in, because the evil one is always trying to get into us, get into what we're trying to do, get us away from what God has called us to do. You know, I shared with them in Sunday school when we was talking about that, the fact that, you know, the evil one sitting with all of his demons and trying to take control of a Christian. How does they take care of a Christian, try to get control of a Christian? Interrupting his prayer time. When we are sitting there with our focus on God and all of a sudden we take that rabbit trail, we're not following God. We're listening to that little critter on our left shoulder instead of the one on our right shoulder, the one we're supposed to be listening to. We're listening to Satan instead of Christ. We look outside and see that, okay, well, maybe I'm not doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Need to get back to where we're supposed to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. You're being asked to help people, to serve people, to love people, to leverage your life, your finances, your time, your energy, and your efforts to serve people and make a difference in their lives. There are going to be moments when you feel like you're all alone taking out the garbage or doing the laundry. Jesus knew that there would be these challenges. The enemy understands those who follow Jesus are alive, and they are his target, and his target is on their lives. And there are going to be challenges, and most importantly, there are going to be difficulties. You know, if we look at it, it's the fact that the great news is that Jesus loves each and every one of you. It's amazing you're going to live life. But if you need to understand that you are a target, there are going to be a few challenges and they're going to be resistant at all times. That's why Matthew 28 is so significant, so critical for us to contemplate and consider that even when these challenges come, God has promised to be with us. Not just most of the time, but all of the time. Now, when we're looking for security and stability in this life, when our situations cannot offer us security and stability, it's imperative that we know and find it in our Savior, who is ever present. Do you know that even Jesus found stability in the presence of the Father? We see that so many times as we go. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Do you know the context where Jesus speaks of in this verse? 16:31 says, do you now believe? Jesus replied. Jesus is telling his disciples, look, I've been sent by the Father. That this is what is going to happen. The disciples thought to nod their heads and say, okay, now we get it. John 16:29-30, the disciples said, yes, now you are speaking plainly, not in any figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need to have anyone question you. By this we believe that you came from God. They've been with him for a while, and they still need that affirmation, that insurance, that blessed assurance that God is with them and that Christ has shared exactly what God has called him to do. Even Jesus looked at the presence of the Father for stability and security. 16:32-33, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each one to his home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have said this to you so that you may have peace. In the world you will face persecution. But take courage. I have conquered the world. You know, as followers of Jesus, there is tension for each and every one of us. This tension is we live in the world. We live in the world to make a difference. And to live as missionaries. God loves his world and wants us here, or we wouldn't be here. What's more real to you, the fact that you're in the world or the fact that you're in Christ? Which is more important to you? When Christ is more real to you than in the world, anything that happens in the world will not derail you, will not cause you to flip out. Because what is more real to you than in the world is being his presence at all times. One of the great fears of any human being is that every one of us has lived through financial fear. Will it affect my relationship? Will we have enough resources? Will we have enough food? Will we have enough clothing? Will we have enough space? Do we have a bed? Is there going to be enough? Is God going to supply what we need? What's going to happen? Do you know that God's presence is ultimately the answer even to the fears about relationships and finances? Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from love of money. And be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave or forsake you. It's not about stuff. I want this, I want that. That's not what it's about. Stuff, stuff, stuff. And more stuff. Stuff isn't bad. But the writer of Hebrews is saying quite simply, this shouldn't be your focus. Be content with what you have. We would like the verse to end with, God will provide you with everything you need forever and ever. Amen. Right? That's what we want. That's what we expect. Instead, his answer is his His presence. One of the ways to overcome anxiety in relationship to things and stuff and finances and shortage and challenge, or just desire me to stop and go. Wait, He's with me. He's enough. He's right here, right now. He says He'll never leave or forsake you. Leave, forsake. Two different things. Two different words. We read it as He'll never leave you or leave you. You see? But leave literally means to let you down. He'll never let you down, and forsake means walk away. Quite simply, the promise is that I won't let you down and I will not walk away from you. Sometimes we only acknowledge the presence of God when we're in what we think is a spiritual environment. You know, God expects us to always feel that we're in that spiritual way. He wants us to realize that we're always in His presence. Whether we're in church, whether we're sitting in a parking lot, getting ready to go in and work, we're sitting in that line at Wendy's to get something to eat. God's right there with us. He's assured us of that. He's assured us that no matter what we're doing, what our concerns is, He's always going to be right there with us. But most of the time, we only look for God's presence when we're in church, or a prayer meeting, or reading our daily devotions. But once we get into that boardroom or that locker room, or once we get into a break room or our cubicle, we're no longer looking for His presence. When in reality, that's where His presence is. He is with you always. And frankly, when you need Him the most, anyone can be nice in church. It's the rest of the week that we need Him most. When you need to know that He won't let you down or walk out on you, Jesus promised that we would have challenges, didn't He? Simply put, bad things will happen to good people. But that's another series in itself. Sometimes bad things happen more often to good people. They have that target on their backs. We have to get and take time to consider the reality that before we're in the world, we're in Him. He is in us. This is real. Jesus is with us always. Now, if we look at Paul, a man who started out persecuting Christians until God appeared to him, literally knocks him off his donkey and challenges his life, would that get your attention? He heard the audible voice of God and followed it by planting churches all over the human world. He risked his life for this ministry. Paul's four letters to the church, he talks about his life that's been beaten, challenged, but sustaining the force of Paul's life in his reality that God was always with him, no matter what he was involved in, no matter what was going on. He knew that God was with him. Acts 16:16-26 says, one day we're all going to the place of prayer. We meet a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners to a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out. These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation. She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged him into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought him before the magistrates, they said, these men are disturbing our city. They are Jews, and they're advocating customs that are not lawful for us Romans to adopt or observe. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them secure. Following these instructions, he put them in an innermost cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was an earthquake, so violent the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. But these are men that are doing what God has told them to do. Before they knew if they were naked and beaten and shackled. At midnight, they started praying and singing. They should be complaining, but they're not. They're singing praise to God. Not because they were amazing guys. Paul wasn't perfect. He got mad, had disagreements with his fellow believers, and had relational problems. Paul was a normal guy, but being in Christ was so real to him that when he was in prison, naked and shackled, he could still celebrate and sing. The only way we can live in the middle of this tribulation, in the middle of financial crisis, in the middle of your stuff, is to realize that there is something else more real than the stuff you were in. In our lives, an earthquake comes. Everyone's chains are loosened. And Paul and Silas are free. He starts a church in Philippi. And it grows and blesses Paul. 7 years later, Paul writes another letter. And I guess where it is. And guess where he is. Quite simply, he's in another prison. Guess what he writes in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. There's that word again, always. I am with you always. If he is with me always, I can rejoice always. The Bible never says you have to be pumped up about your bills or pumped up about some sickness you're fighting and resisting. But he expects us, I am rejoicing in his promise, his presence. He is with me. He hasn't let me down, and he hasn't walked out of me. Folks, we know that no matter where we're at in our lives, no matter what's going on, he walks right beside us. Whether we're going down to the beach to have a great day, or we're dealing through tribulation, something that an illness, a loss of a loved one, something that is hard for us to understand, he's still right there with us. The difference is he's carrying us through that time of trouble. He's carrying us during that time where we feel that we're uncomfortable. We're not sure that he's there, but he's always with us. And that is our prayer today. Let's pray. Father God, now we just praise you for this day, reminding us that no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing, good, bad, and indifferent, you are still with us. And Father, we praise you for all that you do in our lives. We praise you for the opportunity to be in your house, to be able to come and freely worship you, to know that no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter how bad we feel, we have that blessed assurance, that assurance that you are with us. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. Pray for his precious name.